Welcome to Ballsy, the podcast where I interview successful artists and creators on how they got the balls to sell their art and turn their practice into a profitable business. As a former entrepreneur turned artist, I realized that being an artist is basically like running a small startup, and you, the artist, are the CEO. I talk to artists about their businesses, talk real numbers, growth hacks, tools and tricks, and how they were ballsy enough to make that their career. Dimitri, welcome to Ballsy. For those who have the balls to sell some art, of which it seems like you sell a lot of, I don't want to murder your last name.
Lekisas.
Lekisas. See, I would have murdered it. Dimitri Lekisas, everybody. So usually to start, I always ask the artist just to tell the audience a little bit about their work. I'll put all your social links in all the notes, but give us a little background on what your work is, just from a visual perspective, and then we'll jump right in to the business side of it.
Okay, so my work is all about optical arts, and the theoretical name is pointillism, so I paint dots. And because I paint dots, and why is it optical? Because you both have an abstract perspective from it, and also a figurative aspect. If you have a distance to the work, those dots come together, and it's like a figurative image that you see. But from close by, it's a very abstract work with just colored dots. So that's what I do.
By the way, I've been a huge fan of your work for a long time. And as you can tell, by my work is a 3D interpretation of your work. And I will be the first to admit there was one point when I was going to do like a 3D interpretation. I was like, I was going to think I'm copying you. So I backed off and took a slightly different tact. But there was a moment when I was like starting to lay out dots like yours. Anyhow, it has almost like a dot matrixy kind of, or like the, some of like the kind of old computer art kind of vibe to it, which I think is really beautiful and cool. And just as this has probably been my one technical question. Do you literally paint each circle yourself, or is it like more?
I do. Yeah.
Wow. So you must have steady hand.
With a brush.
Really? And how do you line them up so they're all so perfect?
Very, very basically how would anybody would do it. Just you measure the measuring tape, you put your lines at a certain so much centimeters, you space them out. So you first make a calculation how many dots that I need. Like you said, a dot matrix. I just mark the lines, and then with a big ruler, I make the lines in pencil, and then I just start. But it's, you don't get the dots right at the first time, but that doesn't matter. I'm doing the coloring and the dots are not super perfect. And then I'm, when all that is done, when the paint is dry and it does not dry, I don't use acrylics, I use oil paint. So it takes, it depends on which season I'm in. I'm here in Europe now. It takes 2 days to dry. Then I will adjust. And that could be with a scraper, I would scrape around the edge. It's almost like sculpting now to make my circle better.
Yeah, because they're all dead perfect. Like it looks like the fact that you paint those by hand is fascinating because it looks like they're either printed or machine done or silkscreen laid. And okay, so I'm even more impressed. That's even, my hand is not particularly steady. And so I could paint 100 circles and I would have 100 different size circles.
it's difficult. But it's all about, again, the correction afterwards. You are not perfect from the first time.
So I always try to start with a bit of context. How long have you been an artist? And we usually discuss how you decided to become an artist.
Already from a kid, I've been very creative. All from school, I painted Americana. I was born in Belgium, 1969. We're about the same age. And American stuff was very cool. And I painted on jeans jackets in the back. I painted all the hockey game logos from the... Now I don't remember anymore, but it's not NBA, not basketball. That was not popular then. It was baseball. Baseball, all the baseball logos of the American teams, and I painted it in the back. So from there on, it started really from 15 years old, 16 years old, and I've been always painting on the side. Life comes in the way and you have to do it. You have to work. I always work at newspapers, so that's where my style comes from, like this dot matrix that you say, because in the printing world we have CMYK.
Yeah.
If you take a lens and you look very close to a print, you can see these dots. And I've always been fascinated the art from Roy Lichtenstein with that dot pattern, and I always try to figure out how did he do it. But he, I figured out from watching documentaries, he had a steel grid with dots, holes basically, which he with a toothbrush with a color, that's how he got his dot pattern.
That's how I thought yours was.
Yeah. No. But the difference is that my color has a separate color. Each dot is a separate color to make that image.
Now, did you mix each one? Do you mix each color or do you just have it? Wow.
I mix each color, yeah.
Okay, I have so many questions.
Going back to how I became an artist, so to speak. Yeah, all my life I've been painting, then working in the newspaper. I painted on the side. At one time I lived in the Caribbean for 23 years on St. Martin, Caribbean, the island in St. Martin.
Yep.
And so I worked at the newspaper there, three different newspapers actually, and I was a graphic designer. And the dream is always for anyone to improve in your life. It means side hustling and hoping that your side hustle would make as much income as your salary. And once that is true, boom, you leave your job and you continue. That has always been the goal. And it had, let's say, almost impossible to get there. But that was always the goal. I had a small little art gallery on St. Martin, but that didn't pick up well. My art was also different than what I'm painting today. When you're an artist I cannot say from a kid, which I did paint from a kid, but let's say from working at a newspaper, always on the side was painting in a different style of today, but I always had circles. And in your lifetime as an artist, I want to say, you are a loner. You cannot rely on anybody. It's, am I doing this right? Should I do it this way? Maybe I got to try this. So this is the life of an artist. And why I'm saying this is because on the island of St. Martin, there were painters and they were painting the typical touristic images. And I did not want to do this. I did not want to paint a beach with a palm tree and a little canoe there. I did not want to do this. That is, you could have done this.
Sure.
And make a little side money, but that's like giving in. I did not want to do this, but this is also very tough. It depends on what level, where your level is. You can say, shit, I need money. I'm going to paint the palm tree and the little ocean with a little boat and take $100 and wow, things are great. So with my art, I did not really had success. I was on St. Martin. Mostly American tourists. And I sold left. But I advertised in American magazine, art news. But also, if you are a salary worker, these ads are very expensive. You don't really get results. It's a waste of money. So it's always a hustle, always a struggle. Your question would be, when did I become a full-time artist?
Yeah, like at what point, like obviously you were painting. You sold a couple of works. At what point did you sell enough, or was there like a catalyst where your work sold a certain amount? You're like, I think I can do this full time. What was the impetus to make that switch from a more commercial art and design job to a full-time artist?
Okay. This is more of a life story now. It has like nothing to do like how did you transition to being a full-time? It was almost like out of necessity. And I want to tell you why. I met a girl, the story goes, on St. Martin and made me to decide to leave everything because I've been there over 23 years. And I just left everything to go to Paris. Because I said, you know what, I have to try things. And while I'm young, do this now, and I don't want to be working here forever at these newspapers. And I decided to go with her. And okay, I've been living in Miami, Paris, back and forth like this. And the life story is, it's tragic on one hand, and this is almost like Anthony Robbins' type of idea, that in your deepest darkness is where your biggest energy can come out. And this is actually true in my case. I had zero money. I left everything. I closed my bank accounts. I had no address anymore. And basically, I don't exist anymore. And I was totally dependent on this lady, and it didn't work out. So basically, I'm on the streets. I'm in Paris. I'm on the streets in Paris. I call my brother to come and pick me up because he lives in Belgium. And this is the new life, so to speak. Left everything behind, has zero money. And I am now in Greece because my name is a Greek name. My dad is Greek. I am born in Belgium. My dad said, hey, you know what? Why don't you come here to Greece for a vacation? Because I still had a ticket to go back to St. Martin. And I decided to stay here. And going to the question now, how that big jump to a full-time artist, like I said, from the deepest darkness to this big success, but to this, see the end of the tunnel, was all over the years, I was on Instagram. And I'm not going to say I was one of the first of Instagram, but I was there surely in the first year of Instagram, I was there. And I always uploaded images for my art. And when I was in Greece by my dad, I get a message from somebody in Mexico. And, hey, do you have this work available? And I was like, not in a good mental state because of all that happens. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. This guy is not going to buy anyway. So I'm just going to put a ridiculous price. And I put a ridiculous price. And this guy said, okay, yeah, give me your bank account and I will drop the money. And I'm like, okay, whatever. This guy is bullshit. But actually, and that was my start. This is now, that's 6 years ago. And this is my true start of being a professional artist. 6 years ago.
Okay, so I didn't realize it was that recent. So I also believe, like, my darkest, like, this sounds almost cheesy, but like at times I look for the darkest times in life because invariably the worst times in my life have been the biggest catalyst for change and have forced me to do something different and big. And so now when the really shit hits the fan, it still sucks, but like, I can sometimes, it's very hard, but sometimes I can separate enough to be like, okay, this, something needs to be done here. So yeah. I relate completely to that trip. But let me tell you, sometimes that's what it takes. And to be open enough, even in a hard time, to see that and be like, huh, there's that. Yours is actually, of all the people I've spoken to, that's like the hardest snap I've seen. And that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, and it sounds cheesy. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
I think for the people that would watch this, like artists that want to make money and be successful, me, I've always been on the search for how to sell art. And you get stuff on YouTube. Hey, yeah, I paint this, and you can post it on the marketplace and this and that. Not very valuable. And the person that will look at this will say, yeah, okay, that's cheesy from a dark, you can get, but it's actually a real life story. What I want to say as a tip for a person, it sounds very cheesy, but that was actually the reality to be successful. In a way, it's a situation where you have nothing to lose. And I would almost say for the person, and it's one, cheesy, two, dangerous. Dude, you want to be an artist? Sometimes cliche, you would read this. You want to be an artist? You have to go in all the way. You have to go in all in. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. I got my bills to pay. I need my job, whatever it is. But truly, it could maybe be like, dude, just do it. Go away from your job. And man, you're going to hustle hard. But I think it would work out.
It's something I just had one of those. This series of art, I was dicking around with a lot of art. And I had the same thing. I was like, I have to pick something. I have to stick with it and follow through and do nothing but that for 6 months and see where it takes me. And lo and behold, if you focus all of your attention and throw a bunch, take a bunch of risks, guess what? Shit often works out. But it's hard. It's scary. It ain't easy.
It is hard and scary, yeah, because you don't know the result.
You think you're risking everything.
You just have to try.
The beginning of something. So you now sell a piece of art. You sell a piece of artwork on Instagram, and you're like, "Huh, someone just gave me a lot of money for a piece of art." So it clicked in your head. I'm going to make art. At what point? What were like the next steps? Did the inbound keep coming? Did you start posting more? What were the next steps to make your career be more than selling one piece of art?
So at that moment, immediately the switch went on, dude, this is it. This is my destiny. Because I always wanted to be this. I always had a clear vision that this is what I want to do. But it was just so hard to get to if you have that job.
Sure.
And you're doing this as a side hustle. But this time I could go 100%. 100% in it. I had nothing to lose. Okay, sold that art. Yes, this is it. I'm doing this 100%. And I just hustled wild on Instagram. Okay, all the galleries, anything that I could contact, I did contact.
And okay.
I had many hits.
So you would literally just reach out to people on Instagram, like galleries you liked, and just contact them and say, hey, take my art.
Yeah. And it sounds... It's very difficult also and very annoying. It's like looking for a job because it's always, we have our roster for the year is finished. And we really like your art, but we cannot take on any new artists. It's always like this.
And rejection's part of it.
Yeah. It's really, again, that cliche, many cliches. It's a numbers game, but you have to write 100 to get one that says. And also, it's not galleries, again, for the ones that are viewing, galleries are not end-all, be-all. You need to have a portfolio of ways. It's not because when you are, let's say, nowhere, or you're starting to be an artist, you are thinking, oh, man, I need a gallery. No, you don't need a gallery. That should be your first goal.
So that's a good question. That's one of the things we like to talk about here. Like, what do your channels look like? What percentage of your sales are social media, are direct, are gallery, are online or digital gallery? Because I separate those between like brick and mortar versus like the Singularts and Saatchis and such. What is your product mix look like? And also with that, is it only paintings? Your work seems like it would be very print friendly to me. So do you have a lower price point print and a higher price point?
I do, but it's very limited, not much attention. People really like to have the original work.
But your work is
not the biggest.
Really? I would think your work would be like a huge print business for like at a lower price because your work is expensive.
It is.
Like,
and,
for point of reference, you're
again,
what?
But again,
$10,000, $5,000.
It's always 10 grand for a 34 inch on 34 inch.
Okay. And you don't find that you have like a bunch of interested fans that would like at a 200, 300, 400 price point would like to do a print? Like, I would think your work is just so graphic, like it feels so cool.
But again, that's where the distribution end comes in. You need a good partner that has a distribution channel. For example, now, a good example is Avant Arte. Do you know these guys from Holland?
Who?
Avant Arte.
I've heard of it.
Avant Arte. Okay, for example, they are two young guys from Holland, and they established a following of art collectors, basically, for reasonable price art. But again, it's curation. I'm not in there, and you cannot get in there. They need to find you somehow. But once you are in there, they do sell prints, $600 prints. But I don't have that outlet. And on my own, I can push this on Instagram, but still I'm not going to make a lot of prints.
Interesting.
So, again, you would need a partner like this Avant Arte or there are many others probably, that already have a following. It's all about eyeballs. You need to have the attention. Okay, my Instagram now, I don't know, I had 20K followers, but I killed a lot. I'm at 17 now. It's not, and our Instagram is not the same anymore like it used to be.
No.
5 years ago. 5 years ago, I post on Instagram, I get, bam, 2,000 likes in half a day. Now, it's not like this anymore.
Yeah, now it's all reels.
Again, yeah, again, for a print, you need a named gallery online, whatever, that already has a following. I can just do, guys, this is very famous, this drop. We are doing a drop.
Yeah,
next week, Monday,
sure,
from this guy. And it sells in seconds. So the network of the people, I don't have that network.
Okay. So where do you sell most of it? So where does your work sell mostly? Like, where do you sell most of it?
Digital gallery and my own website is the majority. And then comes the galleries, and then comes my Instagram.
And when you say digital galleries, which are you referring to?
Like the single artist one.
Yeah, they move a lot of work. I've been selling a lot with them.
And then, galleries in the States that have their own website. Like this. So it's not physical. Not
fascinating.
Necessarily physical galleries. Yeah.
Most of your work is a similar size, or do you have a particular work that's like a bestseller, or what's interesting about yours is you get to piggyback on a lot of things in the cultural zeitgeist. You can play a lot with producing other images, but like in your style, which I always think is really cool because it lets you touch two or three like connection points to people. I saw you did the whole NFT series of CryptoPunks and other things that I thought was interesting. I love the numbers as well. I thought that was really cool because it created like this kind of blurry kind of number that I like.
Those are the...
Is there a certain style or a certain category of your work that sells predominantly better than others?
Predominantly better.
Is there like a size or a series that sells better than everything else?
It's basically my biggest one sells the best. My biggest paintings.
Okay.
And mostly the pop art, which again, that brings up a point. People would say, yeah, you do pop art. And I like pop art, but I don't want to be known for pop art. And what I do can be very versatile. I can paint many things. The point that I want to bring up about is your art serious or is this a bullshit art or is this decorative? There's this distinction. Are you doing serious art or are you just decorative art? Two things, like, and this would mean the blue chip galleries. The blue chip galleries, I am not in there because I'm doing so-called, not bullshit art, but I'm doing so-called, for them, decorative art. Art, what they perceive as to be not intellectual, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
the nice
difficult point.
Yeah, fuck them. Like, my general attitude these days is, like, it used to matter whether you had a gallery or not. But now the economics in galleries suck. 50%, 40%, 60%. Like you take all the cost. Like those economics are terrible. There's something to be said now that as an artist that you can own your customer and that you have fans and that you have collectors that deal directly. Like I think that's substantially more value, like from an enterprise value and long-term growth of your career. Galleries come and go. Yeah, sure, it'd be nice to be in Gagosian one day, but who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's very important for aspiring artists to hear that, again, it comes all back to your freedom. Like, when you, me now too, like you, don't give a shit. I don't really care now because it's all about, because you can afford. But if you're not selling, you don't have freedom and you have to be Mr. Nice Guy and you have to paint the palm tree. with little boat and the ocean.
Question, do you ever do, on that note, do you ever do commission work? Did someone come to you and say they like your style? And do you charge a premium for that work?
No, not premium.
Okay.
I don't know where that premium came from. That's an old-fashioned idea, I think, from galleries that, oh, because he's asking for a commission, it's supposed to be 25% higher. I don't see why. It's the same framework to make. Why would I charge 25% more?
Okay. And do you, and in terms of, do you have a team at all, or is it just you 100% by yourself, or do you have other people that help you with anything?
Just me.
Just you. So you deal with sales, Instagram, marketing, fulfillment, shipping. I'm the same, but it's hard. What do you use? Do you keep track of like your collectors and your inventory? Is there like a software system that you use, or do you just do Google Docs?
I'm a little bit outlaw, and I know I'm supposed to be doing what you're saying, but I don't.
Okay. Plenty of
like
people
for,
don't.
I know. Yeah, like for blue chip galleries, like they would ask you. I had some people that asked me like, hey, do you have a list of your collector base? And I've just been busy working. And my life is good the way it is. Of course, I want to do more and better than you, fucker. You need to make that list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's going now. That is my life. And it's not that I'm going to push for this, but it's going and it just keeps growing, building the brand, so to speak. It's all coming in slowly. I think I believe in the time does the job as long as you keep moving. It takes time. I don't think things can be rushed. This is actually a very true statement.
There's a question for you. So one of the things I always ask, how much time do you spend making art versus all the other things you have to do to support the art business? Like how much time do you spend painting versus everything else?
I would say 20% actually paintings and 80% is hustling.
Okay. That's just the reality.
People will not understand this. People think that you are there day and night painting.
No, you can't.
But yeah, day and night. Yeah.
And I've seen like you have tons of work and it seems like, you know, obviously like detail oriented and the nature of this and the scale of the work, like how much work do you produce? What's your output look like?
It's difficult to say. It depends on the gallery demand. If a gallery says, look, we need three paintings, I do all three at the same time.
Okay.
To save time with moving colors from left to right. Okay. But let's say, and of course, I paint with a black background. I paint with all paint, so it needs time to dry. I say one painting a week.
One painting a week, okay.
And then stuff in between. But let's say one painting a week.
Okay. All right, so it's
slow. It is, yeah, it's a slow process.
I can hustle
very hard and do it in, let's say, yeah, but that's killing myself in 3 days for a painting.
Okay.
But that's killing myself. It's not good.
And what do you spend? So the other 80% is the hustle. So what is the rest of that time? Like, how do you figure that looks? Like, how much is spent on marketing and outreach, dealing with galleries, like fulfilling? Do you keep any inventory or do you sell it as soon as you get it?
I don't have inventory.
You don't have inventory, so you're behind.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I can't wait to one day have that feeling where I can't create work fast enough. That has to feel good that you have a... So you basically, do you have a waiting list?
Not really a waiting list, no.
Okay. So that's your time. Like, what do you spend most of your money on? What do you spend in your practice? Like, do you advertise at all? Is it just paint and supplies and time? Like, where does the, what's your financial game look like?
I really don't spend money on, I don't spend money.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know what to say. Very basic guy. I buy my canvas on a roll, big roll.
Okay.
Really, yeah. It may not seem, this may seem like a, if you look me up, that fuck, this guy's a factory. Yeah, I am a factory. But I spend on a course, for example, okay, $250 I just spent for a little course here. And okay, I just wasted $2,000 on the Google ads, didn't do anything for me. Yeah, okay. In that sense, sure. But I don't really spend.
But you, at least you're experimenting with some things just to try to drive traffic and business and...
Sure.
Okay, yeah, we all do. So I guess my question is, have you thought about expand? Because if you're backed up in terms of, you're not piling up extra paintings, it sounds like if you make more work, you could sell it. Have you ever thought about like adding a team or an assistant or someone to help with some of the administrative?
Yeah, I would love to. I don't know what to say yet. That is the goal. But like you say, you need to have enough offset, enough sales.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be one of those similar to your, like the fear at the beginning when like forcing yourself to go all in. Like sometimes I look at it like that, like hiring that extra person, it's going to be a little harder, but it might actually let your business really expand 2 or 3 or 4X from having the extra time to do more creative work or think a little bit more, like taking some of the grunt work off your table. Cause I know I box and ship all my own stuff, like to take some of those things away or canvases or whatever it might be. So
I see what you're saying. Now, the little thing with me, the twist with this is that I'm in a foreign country. Basically, I don't know the language very well. This is not an art country. I cannot, this is difficult for me. In the States, it would be easier.
What country?
But then I'm in Greece right now.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
That's good living.
So, yeah, it's good. It's good living, sure. But this could be done virtually in a way, like...
Sure.
If you're a business-minded person, look, I don't care to spend money to just bring money back. At least that's the idea. It's not a problem to pay somebody... Yeah, that's the idea. But the key would be the art world, it's a closed world, difficult world. Finding people, that's weird to say. Finding people, you try to find, you always try to find a gallery. But if somebody would knock on my door, hey, I used to work at the Gagosian Gallery and I have my client list, Jude, right away, how much do you need per month? Bam, bam, let's do this. This for sure. But that does not exist.
They're harder to find.
If somebody knocks on the door, hey, I was a 5-year intern at wherever, and I know the ins and outs, I'm looking for a job, immediately you're hired. So it's about finding the skilled person.
Yeah, or also just reaching out to try to find those people. They exist, they just have to be dusted. Oftentimes you have to find them as much as they have to find you.
Yeah, but I think that would be difficult to find. Maybe where would you find them on LinkedIn? That's the only way.
I don't know. In the US, I use Craigslist a lot. You'd be surprised what you find out there. So obviously Instagram has been instrumental in your career in terms of people finding you and doing. Have you done any other social platforms? Like, have you tried with TikTok? Or YouTube Shorts.
I'm on TikTok, but TikTok is a... I don't want to say that it's for kids. That's cliche to say this. And I know...
It's not.
The key again there is to really... Yeah, I know it's not. No, I have respect for TikTok. Not a problem. I am on TikTok. It's just not lifting off for me there. But anyway, I'll just continue.
I can tell you from experience... From my experience, and mind you, I got very lucky. I had two videos explode, that like the algorithms caught right and exploded on TikTok. And it was what I've now real, I thought I knew what social media was all about. I didn't. If you have one viral video, and because the way it's not about like your network anymore, it's about the content, one viral video can so drastically change everything. So I had, it's ironically, it was the same two videos on Instagram and TikTok. And they, my Instagram went from 13,000 people to 80,000 people in 4 weeks. Right. Like just straight up. And by the way, it was two videos. That was it. The rest of my videos are like, they all get more views, but it was one or two, like all it takes is one good piece of content. So my suggestion is just keep fucking, just keep grind it out.
Yeah, this is the thing. And try
different weird things. Like you have cool process, like try cool things, man. Like you never know until all of a sudden it happens. You're like, whoa, it just happened. And like that, it changes everything. It's amazing. Yeah.
This is one thing that you really need to push out the content. This is the game of the day.
I spend 2 hours a day on content. I probably spend as much time on content as I do on actually making art, which sucks, but it is what it is. Now, you have, because of the nature of your artwork, that it's very versatile. Do you ever do like collabs or with other people because they like your style and do like interesting collabs of different people?
Not really. No, I have not done a collab. I did a collab with the furniture designer in Portugal. Yeah, that one, my stuff on their furniture, but not really like two artists together. No, I would have liked to do.
No, I actually meant more. I meant more like the furniture thing. Do people like take your stuff and put it on their product?
Yeah, like a licensing deal, yeah.
So how did they find you, or how did you go about getting that collaboration?
They found me.
And what, can you explain what the collaboration was? Or is?
That they use one particular painting that I did, and they have it on the salon table. How do you call it, salon table? Just a table in front of your sofa.
Okay, yeah. A coffee table.
Yeah, and seats, a coffee table, and also seats with cloth.
I bet you that looks
dining
pretty cool.
Dining chairs with my stuff on there, yeah.
And what brand was that with?
Oh, man, it's difficult now to think about.
Don't worry, I'll edit it to make it look good.
I got a lot of stuff on my head. Sometimes I have a short memory.
It's okay. I'm with you. I'm of the same age. If you remember, tell me. I'll edit it in. Do you do any PR? Do you do anything with a publicist or anything like that? Or have you played around with PR? Because there's some articles and some interesting things around about you.
I was going to tell you no, but you said that you found stuff.
I thought I did.
Yeah, there is like, again. Many that came to me for asking for interviews, just like you, for example. Yeah, I was in a few magazines, but that just came out of them requesting me. I'm not going to say that I have not written in the past part of my hustle. Yes, to knock on doors to get articles, but you can only get an article at a publication if you are from their area or something like this. It needs to be newsworthy. So I cannot get an article right now. I have nothing newsworthy.
You can always make something newsworthy. The question, do you do art fairs at all? And what's your
No.
Really?
I did. Galleries that I'm with went to the art fairs and where I have my art, yes.
That's what I mean.
In Miami, yeah, but not me personally.
No, but I meant your galleries take you to fairs, like you show. Yeah. Like, do you find that is a good converter or like discovery so people find you? Or it's their business and they sell a couple of your pieces?
Yeah, I was hoping that we need eyeballs. We really need, that's all we need. Attention, eyeballs.
That's it.
And the fairs, the galleries again, they, of course, they have expenses. They want to make sales. Everybody wants to make sales, and they are betting on their glory artist. And then I'm not a glory artist, so they push the glory artist, and I'm in the corner. You see what I mean?
Happens. Until one day you're the glory artist.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it's time. You need time to make it happen.
Yeah, tell me about it. So we've been chit-chatting for almost an hour now. And so one of the things I like to do as we start coming to the end of the interview, and this is because a lot of the people who watch this are other artists, some fans, but there are a lot of, like, this is for me, a pay it forward kind of thing where you try to learn and teach. So I usually ask three questions. One, what was your biggest mistake? I wish you could do that one over. On the flip side of that, what was like your greatest achievement? And then what's your best piece of advice, like a tool, a trick, a tip, that something you would get, or some piece of advice? You gave it, like you gave one earlier, so that one might be a redo. But anyhow, so let's start. Like, what do you think the biggest mistake was?
We could really speak for hours and give really golden nuggets to every aspiring artist out there. I know this.
Please.
Because, yeah, I had a difficult time and you know, mistakes. What are the mistakes? You know, I had some sucking situations from gallery fights in between, for example. But is that my mistake? It's not really my mistake. Galleries that are jealous from each other. Oh, what the fuck? I thought that we had in Saint-Tropez, and now you're in Monaco. What the fuck? You know, and that gallery is putting your prices at this price, and our prices at this price. Yeah, but is that my mistake? No.
How do you manage that?
So shitty things happen. And again, depends where you are. Like for the aspiring artist there that wants to have, I want to be in a gallery. The gallery is my savior. I will sell art. It's not true. It is difficult with galleries. I had a situation with a gallery in France that was jealous. Then I was also with another gallery also in France. And they kicked me out. Oh, another one example. I was with a gallerist in Connecticut. Oh, fuck. And it was a good gallery. And they sold a lot of my stuff. Really sold a lot of my art. I don't know if I should name the name. But I did one post on Instagram, if you say that a mistake. That is not a mistake. But again, it goes to show you about your freedom as an artist. Are you really that free? Or should you be Mr. Nice Guy? Oh, yes, I'm going to paint. They said, I'm going to be nice, and because you're scared to whatever. Yeah, I got kicked out from this good gallery because I painted a painting of a lady like this with a cucumber, like doing a blowjob. It was actually a very cool painting. And the day after, I get an email from the gallery. Dear Dimitri, in regards to this post that you made, the gallery assistants found it so whatever. And we can no longer work with you. Is that a mistake for me? Is that a mistake?
No, because that's your artistic vision, right?
Look, this was not porn or whatever. And just to be clear, all what I paint is what I personally like to paint.
Of course.
I wanted to paint this with a cucumber. I liked it myself. That's what I did. That's what I painted. Was it a mistake to put it on Instagram? No, it was not a mistake. Actually, I had so many. It was like a super post. It was a super post comment, but the gallery kicked me out, and it was a super post. And I killed the post, you know.
Right, when you get controversy, you know? Controversy always brings brings forward.
That's good. Controversy is good.
It's great.
Controversy was connected. I don't know if they. Yeah, it's a pity because that was a good gallery. It's just that they were so religious, I don't know. Yeah.
Happened.
But you have to be, I don't know, do you have to be careful? No. You're an artist, you have to do what you want. But again, it depends on that, where you are. If you can afford that freedom, this is the difficulty of being an artist.
And so what do you think your like biggest and greatest art achievement is so far?
You know what it is? My biggest achievement is that I can live from my art. That is the biggest achievement.
I'm very thankful for this.
That is the goal. Of course I want the Lamborghini. Of course I want the mansion. Of course. But I know life, and that is the greatest goal you can achieve, to provide for yourself.
With something you love.
Something that you love, exactly. Something that I was hunting for this for so many years. This is what I wanted to do. Paint, be an artist, travel the world, go to galleries, make my own art, meet people, and make a living from it. And that's what I'm doing today. That's exactly what I'm doing today. So that's my biggest achievement so far. Of course, I want to grow, but this is coming with the time naturally.
You found it. So any good pieces of advice or tips that you would give to, in addition to what you've given so far, to those up-and-comers out there?
I would say have a certain style, that this would become your branding, that they can say, oh, yeah, that's the dog guy. Oh, yeah, that's the guy who paints sausages. Oh, yeah, that's the guy who does this. I think that this is very important. Good execution. It must look professional. All my stuff, when you see it in front, it almost looks printed. So my stuff is professional. Yeah. Professional execution. I think that this is very important. That if you go to a gallerist, let's say, that they see, oh, yeah, this guy, this is not an amateur.
I think that
good execution.
I think your point of style and brand is super important. I think that's one of the most important things, that there's work that you're known for and that like people connect you with that. I think often artists miss how important that is, and that your art in essence becomes your brand. I think that's spot on.
Again, we can speak a lot of hours on this subject. It's important because, look, let's say you went to art school and you did portraits so very well in oil paints, and you need to do a portrait of this person. Oh, yeah, man, this looks like that's really this person. And then the other guy, his name is, this is Peter, and they all paint his portrait. But it's not shown, it's not Peter, it's not, they're all the same portrait. So you would go on the marketplace and you have no idea if this was Paul, Sean, or Peter. So it's very important to have a style. And I see many, let's say if you go on YouTube, hey, how I made it as an artist. Young ladies out there, great, they do well with different things, like they would paint little birds. But if I would ask my neighbor to paint the bird, if they can paint a little bit, the bird would be the same. So again, if you want to move forward, you really need to have that signature style and big branding.
Yeah, I couldn't agree
because
with you more.
Because you cannot make out who painted this little bird.
Yeah. I think that's actually probably one of the most important starting parts for artists today. And I think actually that's a good place to, with that little nugget of knowledge, I think that's a good place to end today. Where do people find you, and where do people find your art? What's your Instagram? What's your website?
I have a simple answer. Just Google my name.
Okay.
It's not to be copied. Not to be copied or anything,
watching,
but just if you Google, it's Dimitri Likisas, DimitriLikisas. Just Google it and you will find your platform that you're on. Maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's Twitter. I'm everywhere. You can always be contacted easy.
Perfect. And just so everybody knows, I will put all the links in the notes below. And so you can track down his work, which is awesome. And now that I know actually how you make it, I'm even more impressed. Dimitri, thank you thank you. And thank you for having the courage to start over, rip the Band-Aid off, start from scratch, and follow your dreams, man. That's what it's all about. That's the motivation
exactly. That's
people
what it's
need.
All about. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and to know that it can happen.
It can be done. It can be done.
Just as perspective, how old were you when you had this moment?
Just 6 years ago. I'm 52 now, so
47? Yeah. So just so you know, everybody who thinks it's too late, you can't be done, it can do whatever. 47 years old and you started and look where it is.
Yeah, if you're living by your parents, you're 18 years old, you're living by your parents. And if you're able to paint something with a specific style and you can hustle a little bit on Instagram, man, you can be a superstar.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%. Anyhow, yeah. Amazing interview. Thank you for the motivation and the dream. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. The dream is alive. Thank you.